You'll notice how the wound's jagged. Carruthers tried to peer at it from behind the tape.
Just one puncture wound?
Aye, and done with some force, I'd say.
D.S. Andy Fletcher sneezed and tucked a tendril of dark hair behind her right ear. She was standing just outside the taped-up area.
Unlikely to be suicide, then, and no weapon's been found, Jim.
Her breath was coming out in gasps, and a gravelly voice hinted at a head cold. She was blowing on her hands and stamping her feet.
Christ, it's Parky.
She dived into the deep pocket of the coat she was wearing and put on her own latex gloves. A white flash startled Carruthers.
It's January in Scotland. What do you expect?
Both he and Fletcher looked up as the clipped voice of Liu announced the return to the locus of the police photographer. With difficulty, Dr. Mackey got up from the kneeling position and put his hand up to stop Carruthers from asking his next question. He placed his hands on the small of his back and straightened up.
Not as young as I used to be.
My knees are the problem. Well, that and the hips.
What do they say? Old age doesn't come by itself.
How long dead? Said Carruthers.
Wouldn't say that long. Rough estimate between 12 and 24 hours.
Any longer and the body would start to freeze. Carruthers could well believe that. Despite it being only January, it had already been one of the coldest winters on record in Fife.
We need the PM to be definite, continued Mackey, who was peering at the corpse. There's already been some evidence of animal activity, possibly foxes. Poor buggers, they'll be hungry.
He licked his lips.
Remains, mate, we've got a nice bit of roast beef for supper tonight.
Carruthers shuddered. He observed Liu taking a series of photographs of the body from different angles, the constant flashing like strobe lighting. The watery sun was low in the sky and cast long, dark shadows across the wood.
"Your nose been in a fight with a cheese grater?" asked Liu of Fletcher.
"You look awful."
"Thanks for that."
She blew her nose furiously.
"He's right," said Carruthers.
"You're all heart," she said.
Carruthers turned to Dr. Mackey. "Was he killed here?"
"Every indication. There's a fair amount of blood."
Fletcher angled her head to the side so she too could get a better look.
"Appears to be in his late 70s."
"Any ID?" asked Carruthers.
"This is what you'll be looking for," said a young female officer. "The SOTOs have already bagged his effects."
She gave a package to Fletcher, who opened it and examined the contents before placing them back in the bag and throwing the bag over to Carruthers, who caught it deftly.
"Wallet found in his back pocket. His RBS card says Rory Fraser," said the officer.
"And you are?" asked Carruthers, appreciatively noting her natural white blonde hair and fair looks. He wondered if she was of Scandinavian descent. More than likely, if she came from the far north of Scotland, her Shetland accent hadn't escaped him.
"P.C. Hutchison, sir. First on the scene."
Carruthers arched an eyebrow at her.
"Don't suppose we've got an address for him?"
"We do, as it happens. 2 Bridge Street, Sellardake. Handy letter with him about overdue library books."
Carruthers looked over at the young officer, noting her wide eyes and earnest expression. He wondered if this was her first dead body.
"Who found him?" asked Fletcher. 12-year-old girl out playing, ma'am, being interviewed at the moment. She's in a bit of a state, wouldn't come back out to the woods to show us where she found it. But we found this. Think it's hers."
She pointed to a child's red mitten.
"She's being interviewed at home, then," said Carruthers. "I take it she's local?"
"Yes, sir. 10 minutes' walk from here."
"And like Rory Fraser, if that's who her body is."
"Sellardike," said Carruthers, turning the package over. "That's 8 miles away. I wonder what he was doing here. There's no sign of a car, so how did he get here?"
"Bus or a lift," said Fletcher.
"Redwood is part of a nature reserve, so maybe he was out for a walk," said Mackey.
"I thought this land was owned by the University of East of Scotland," said Carruthers.
"It is. Well, the university owns the buildings, the meadows and the woods, but there's always been public access."
Mackey gestured around him to the great sweep of land beyond the wood upon which stood several huge Victorian institutional stone buildings. "This is one of the places I go walking." Carruthers knew Mackey enjoyed his exercise. He turned over the plastic-bagged library letter and looked at the address again. Since moving back to Scotland, he had been living in Anstruther, a fishing village on the east coast of Fife, a stone's throw from Sellardike. They were practically neighbours. He took another long, hard look at the man's lined face, noting the white beard and still thick mass of wiry white hair.
"Anything else on him?"
£25, couple of bank cards, library card for Sellardike Library, organ donor card, and, like I said, a letter about overdue books," said P.C. Hutchison, tucking a stray strand.